Okay, welcome back to the Divine Office podcast. I hope that we're having a really good day today. We just have a short countdown of days until Christmas, and really even the evening of the eve of Christmas that really starts Christmas in the Catholic Church. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. So it's the 16th, which means technically, even though we only have a few days left, we still haven't gotten to the second part of Advent liturgy after the 17th. And so the antiphon is, come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. The Lord, well, that would be for the 17th. Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord God of armies. My soul is longing and yearning, is yearning for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my soul ring out their joy to God, the living God. The sparrow herself finds a home, and the swallow a nest for her brood. She lays her young by your altars, Lord of armies, my King and my God. They are happy who dwell in your house, forever singing your praise. They are happy whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the roads to Zion. As they go through the bitter valley, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain covers it with blessings. They walk with ever-growing strength. They will see the God of gods in Zion. O Lord, God of armies, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Turn your eyes, O God, our shield. Look on the face of your anointed. One day within your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. The threshold of the house of God I prefer to the dwellings of the wicked. For the Lord God is a rampart, a shield. He will give us his favor and glory. The Lord will not refuse any good to those who walk without blame. Lord, God of armies, happy the man who trusts in you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Bless your people, Lord. You have given us the law that we may walk from strength to strength and raise our minds to you from this valley of tears. May we receive the gifts you have gained for us. Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord. Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord. And we have a canticle prayer from Isaiah chapter 2:2-5. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord. Antiphon 3, sing to the Lord and bless his name. Psalm 96, the Lord, King and Judge of the world. A new theme now inspires their praise of God. They belong to the Lamb. Revelation 14:3. O sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. O sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim his help day by day. Tell among the nations his glory and his wonders among all the peoples. The Lord is great and worthy of praise, to be feared above all gods. The gods of the heathens are not. It was the Lord who made the heavens. His are majesty and state and power and splendor in his holy place. Give the Lord, you families of peoples. Give the Lord glory and power. Give the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in his temple. O earth, tremble before him. Proclaim to the nations, God is king. The world he made firm in its place. He will judge the peoples in fairness. Let the heavens rejoice and earth be glad. Let the sea and all within it thunder praise. Let the land and all it bears rejoice. All the trees of the wood shout for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he comes. He comes to rule the earth. With justice he will rule the world. He will judge the peoples with his truth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, you have renewed the face of the earth. Your church throughout the world sings you a new song, announcing your wonders to all. Through a virgin, you have brought forth a new birth in our world. Through your miracles, a new power. Through your suffering, a new patience. In your resurrection, a new hope. And in your ascension, a new majesty. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. And then we begin the reading, and we're going to substitute the short reading for morning prayer for this normal or longer reading from Monday in the Office of Readings from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 30, verses 18 through 26. The promise of future happiness. The Lord is waiting to show you favor, and he rises to pity you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. O people of Zion, you dwell in Jerusalem, no more will you weep. He will be gracious to you when you cry out. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. The Lord will give you the bread you need and the water for which you thirst. No longer will your teacher hide himself, but with your own eyes you shall see your teacher. While from behind a voice shall sound in your ears, This is the way, walk in it. When you would turn to the right or to the left, and you shall consider unclean your silver-plated idols and your gold-covered images. You shall throw them away like filthy rags to which you say, Begone. He will give rain for the seed that you sow in the ground, and the wheat that the soil produces will be rich and abundant. On that day, your cattle will graze in spacious meadows. The oxen and the asses will till the ground, will eat silage tossed to them with shovel and pitchfork. Upon every high mountain and every lofty hill, there will be streams of running water. On the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall, the light of the moon will be like that of the sun, and the light of the sun will be 7 times greater, like the light of 7 days. On that day, the Lord binds up the wounds of his people. He will heal the bruises left by his blows. On that day, the Lord will bind up the wounds of his people is the responsory prayer, and God will heal the bruises left by the stroke of his judgment. Happy are all who await him. Wait for the Lord, act courageously, let your heart be strong and uphold the Lord. Happy are all who await him. And in place of our homily, let us have William of St. Therese, an abbot, give us this discourse on the contemplation of God, which would have been the second reading for the office of readings. He loved us first is the caption. Truly, you alone are the Lord. Your dominion is our salvation. For to serve you is nothing else but to be saved by you. O Lord, salvation is your gift, and your blessing is upon your people. What else is your salvation but receiving from you the gift of loving you or being loved by you? That, Lord, is why you will that the Son at your right hand, the man whom you made strong for yourself, should be called Jesus, that is to say, Savior. For he will save his people from their sins, and there is no other in whom there is salvation. He taught us to love him by first loving us, even to death on the cross. By loving us and holding us so dear, he stirred us to love him who had first loved us to the end. And this is clearly the reason. You first loved us so that we might love you, not because you needed our love, but because we could not be what you created us to be except by loving you. In many ways and on various occasions, you spoke to our fathers through the prophets. Now in these last days, you have spoken to us in the Son, your word. By him, the heavens were established and all their powers came to be by the breath of his mouth. For you to speak thus in your Son was to bring out in the light of day how much and in what way you loved us. For you did not spare your own Son, but delivered him up for us all. He also loved us and gave himself up for us. This, Lord, is your word to us. This is your all-powerful message. While all things were in midnight, silence, that is, were in the depths of error, he came from his royal throne, the stern conqueror of error and the gentle apostle of love. Everything he did and everything he said on earth, even enduring the insults, the spitting, the buffeting, the cross, and the grave, all of this was actually you speaking to us in your Son, appealing to us by your love, and stirring up our love for you. You know that this disposition could not be forced on men's hearts. My God, since you created them, it must rather be elicited. And this for the further reason that there is no freedom where there is no compulsion, where there is compulsion. And where freedom is lacking, so too is righteousness. You wanted us to love you. Then we who could not with justice have been saved had we not loved you, nor could we have loved you except by your gift. So, Lord, as the apostle of your love tells us, and as we have already said, you loved us first. You are first to love all those who love you. Thus we hold you dear by the affection you have implanted in us. You are the one supremely good and unique and ultimate goodness. Your love is your goodness, the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. From the beginning of creation, it was he who hovered over the waters, that is, over the wavering minds of men, offering himself to all, drawing all things to himself, by his inspiration and holy breath, by keeping us from harm and providing for our needs. He unites God to us and us to God. Responsory prayer. My mercy will not leave you, and the covenant of my peace will not be changed. I shall make all your sons learned in the Lord, and they shall endure a lasting peace. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you what is good and guides you in the path you should walk. I shall make all your sons learned in the Lord, and they shall enjoy a lasting peace. Would have been the responsory prayer. Let us continue to the other part of morning prayer, the gospel canticle from the canticle of Zechariah. From heaven he comes, the Lord and ruler. In his hand are honor and royal authority. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. From heaven he comes, the Lord and ruler. In his hand are honor and royal authority. Intercessions. Christ the Lord, Son of the living God, light from light, leads us into the light and reveals his holiness. With confidence let us make our prayer. And the response would have been like, come Lord Jesus, after each one, if you like. Light that never fades, rise to dispel the mists about us. Awaken our faith from sleep. Come, Lord Jesus. Guard us from all harm today. May your glory fill us with joy. Come, Lord Jesus. Give us unfailing gentleness at all times toward everyone we meet. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to create a new earth for us where there will be justice and peace. Come, Lord Jesus. Grant that this season be a season of forgiveness and reconciliation for all those who have been hurt and offended. May they seek reconciliation and peace in the divine wisdom that is Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus. We especially want to offer this office for the elderly today, that God may help all these people who are elderly, who may be slipping into a greater state of weakness or dependency, to see that they are loved, that they are cherished, and that they possess a place of honor as teachers in their families. Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord, hear our voices raised in prayer. Let the light of the coming of your Son free us from the darkness of sin. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. And what more could you ask for in terms of daily prayer than this special office, reflecting on the Word of God? But stick around. We want to have a little mini catechesis time. So there's a beautiful part of the catechism where the Church speaks to us, and it's called At the Wellsprings of Prayer. Just want to share with you the Word of God. The Church forcefully and specifically exhorts all the Christian faithful, ellipses, to learn the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:8, by frequent reading of the Divine Scriptures. Let them remember, however, that prayer should accompany the reading of sacred scripture, so that a dialogue takes place between God and man. For we speak to him when we pray, and we listen to him when we read the divine oracles. And I'll just comment that we studied that probably the best way the Church has found to do that when we did our Lectio Divina examples. The Church continues to speak to us. The spiritual writers, paraphrasing Matthew 7:7, summarize in this way the dispositions of the heart nourished by the Word of God in prayer. In reading, you will find in meditating. Knock in mental prayer, and it will be opened to you by contemplation. The liturgy of the Church. In the sacramental liturgy of the Church, the mission of Christ and of the Holy Spirit proclaims makes present and communicates the mystery of salvation, which is continued in the heart that prays. The spiritual writers sometimes compare the heart to an altar. Prayer internalizes and assimilates the liturgy during and after its celebration. Even when it is lived out in secret, prayer is always prayer of the Church. It is a communion with the Holy Trinity. So again, some theologians would argue, and I think rightly so, that things like the Rosary and the Our Father and certain types of prayer that you do, quote-unquote, devotionally or privately, should also be considered liturgical prayer, because prayer is always prayer of the Church. It is a communion in the Holy Trinity, even if it's not the Church's prayer book like we're praying out of now, with all of its rich excerpts from God's Word and reflection on it. It's still prayer of the Church. And also, we're meant to have that Lectio Divina process going on when we go through the Church's liturgies. So let's take a look at what the Church says about why this is so powerful to read and pray with the Word of God, that as Vatican II says, it can become the source and foundation and summit, not summit, but prayer, foundation of someone's spiritual life. And like I said, this is not something that Vatican II created, some novelty. Rather, what does Our Lady talk about every time there's an apparition? And she talks about the Rosary. She says that you haven't been spending your 15 minutes reflecting on the mysteries of the Rosary, which are Scripture. Here the Church speaks to us and has that quote from Vatican II that I was trying to remember. And such is the force and power of the Word of God that it can serve the Church as her support and vigor, and the children of the Church as strength for their food, for their faith, food for the soul, and a pure and lasting font of spiritual life. Hence, access to sacred Scripture ought to be wide open to the Christian faithful. The Church also has a beautiful part, or a very important part of sacred, of the Catechism, where she speaks to us about the inspiration and truth of sacred Scripture. Another section heading, God is the author of sacred Scripture. The divinely revealed realities which are contained and presented in the text of Scripture have been written down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For Holy Mother Church, relying on the faith of the apostolic age, accepts as sacred and canonical the books of the Old and New Testaments, whole and entire with all their parts, on the grounds that written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they have God as their author and have been handed on as such to the Church herself. God inspired the human authors of the sacred books. To compose the sacred books, God chose certain men who, all the while he employed them, in this task, made full use of their own faculties and powers, so that, though he acted in them and by them, it was as true authors that they consigned to writing whatever he wanted written and no more. The inspired books teach the truth. Since, therefore, all that the inspired authors or sacred writers affirm should be regarded as affirmed by the Holy Spirit, we must acknowledge that the books of Scripture firmly, faithfully, and without error teach that truth which God, for the sake of our salvation, wished to see confided to the Scriptures, to the sacred Scriptures. So you see, this is why when we pray with Scripture, it has such a power to change our lives, because Scripture is a way in which God can speak very directly. God can reveal something directly and have it be preserved and written down by the Church. So such is the power of inspiration that we can't, for example, say that Scripture is biased, prejudicial, racist in what it affirms, or what the human author led by the Spirit affirms. You get the point. Instead, we do acknowledge that there's a real human factor. It's not unmediated Word of God, but mediated through human beings. But every text only makes sense within its own context. So, for example, our reading from Isaiah is part of the broader drama of what the prophets are promising. What is God wanting to give Israel most of all? And the words that we read are specific human words that were written down in a specific time and place. So you need to have recourse to what, to historical critical methods, to figure out what the common terms and literary devices and storytelling methods and genres are of that time. Because even though we really treasure, and many Protestants really love to say, okay, well, let's just read it again and reflect on it. Well, that's what we're doing in Lectio Divina. We're reading it again and reflecting on it, but we also need the context of the rest of the deposit of faith. And that's why, you know, we need to have the historical background as well, because it comes to us humanly, in human language. So, for instance, at the end of our reading, the light of the sun was said to be the light of 7 days. But if you look at some of the historical critical scholars, what they will tell you is something that you would never probably have gotten from just reading it again and reflecting on it, which is that you could also translate this as the light of the 7 days, and that could be a reference to the 7 days of Genesis, when there was this idea that creation was filled with, inundated with a brighter kind of light because it was new and unbroken, and that this is a promise of God's restoration of creation, and you wouldn't know that without the historical critical background and method. Still, the church continues to say the Christian religion, still the Christian faith, is not a religion of the book. Christianity is a religion of the word of God, a word that is not a written and mute word, but the word that is incarnate and living. If the scriptures are not to remain a dead letter, Christ, the eternal word of the living God, must, through the Holy Spirit, open our minds to understand the scriptures. So you see, Christianity is a dynamic religion of unbridled vitality because it has this interplay between tradition, scripture, and the living experience and discernment of its teaching authority. It's not a religion of the book, confined to the letter, but a religion of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who makes Christ, King Jesus, a living presence in our community, someone that we can know personally, someone that we can appreciate in daily life. Someone that, though invisible, is never absent. And it is the Holy Spirit who continues the work of the Incarnation in all the sacraments. Sacraments are not just things that we do, but ways in which the Holy Spirit makes Christ able to work in the physical and material and tangible world in a powerful way. So that, I think, is plenty for our catechesis today. In fact, I think I went a little bit over my time frame, but I hope that you have a beautiful rest of your day.